In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. The Church looks upon today's feast as a mirror, if you will, of Christmas. And very often it was called the summer Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of Christ. In December, we celebrate the birth of St. John the Baptist today. 6 months apart, St. John the Baptist is the precursor. And if you'll notice in the bulletins I wrote that we can't really say St. John without adding the surname the Baptist to distinguish him from the other Johns, but this is his purpose. He came to prepare the world for the coming of the Messiah. As a side note, there's only 3 birthdays that the Church celebrates on her calendar, and St. John is one of them. I never really tire of pointing out in catechism classes that Christ was born. We celebrate his birthday, and of course he is God, he is without sin. We celebrate the birth of the Blessed Mother. She was conceived without sin. She is preserved immaculate. But St. John the Baptist, he was conceived in sin, but yet he was sanctified in his mother's womb. The moment that the Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, St. John leapt in his mother's womb and was sanctified. And so we have this child chosen from all of eternity by God to prepare the way for his son, to prepare the way for the Son of God to come to us. And his whole life is dedicated to this. We see that St. John went out into the wilderness. He survived eating locusts and honey. But most importantly, he did penance. He prayed, he fasted, he did very austere things. And it drew the attention of people to him, because the people were waiting for the Messiah, and they saw St. John out there in the desert doing all these arduous tasks, if you will. Ah, surely this must be the Messiah. For St. John came from noble parentage. He was well known. Zachary was the high priest. They knew the miracle of his birth. They see him out here in the desert, and people began to come and say, oh, let's see what this John is about. And so he begins to preach in the desert. Takes people to the River Jordan. He says, it's time for you to be baptized. It's time for you to wash away your sins. It's time to prepare for the Messiah. I am not the Messiah. And he never tires of telling his disciples that he is not the Messiah. There's one greater than him. But the disciples find a hard time believing it. Who could be greater than this man, than St. John? But St. John insists, Christ is the one. Christ is the Messiah. He is the one to come. And so we must prepare the earth for him. But most importantly, we must prepare our souls to receive him. And so St. John never tires. Put away your sins. Tear down the mountains of pride. Fill up those valleys of hopelessness, of despair. Straighten out your crooked ways of lying and deceit. Cool your anger and your temper and smooth out those rough ways. Make a clear path for the Messiah to enter into your hearts. Now is the time to put off all those sins, to do penance, to mortify yourself, so that you can worthily receive Christ. This was the baptism that St. John the Baptist preached. A baptism of repentance, of turning away from the world, embracing the cross. Up until this time, mankind, well, even today, I should say, mankind is in pursuit of the pleasures of this world. We want our comfort. We want pleasure. We want happiness. We want riches. We want power. We want all the comfort, all the easy things of this world. We want to eat, drink, and be merry. And St. John is saying, too much. It's time to repent. Put all that stuff away. Get rid of it. All of that wealth, all of those good things that God has given you that you've overindulged in, you've abused them. Now it's time to deny yourself. Now it's time to empty your soul of all these things to make room for something even better. As long as we're clinging to the things of this earth, we have no room for Christ. There's no room in our hearts for Christ when they're filled with the riches and the cares and the pleasures of this world. St. John says, get rid of them. This is the baptism that he preached. It is not a sacramental baptism. It did not have the power to sanctify and fill our souls with the Holy Ghost, with the gifts of the Holy Ghost, but it had the power to prepare the way. And even today, in the sacrament of baptism, that has the power to sanctify as a prerequisite to the pouring of the water. If you'll look into your missals and the sacrament of baptism, you'll see what the priest asked either the person to be baptized or the person to be baptized through the sponsors. Do you renounce Satan? Do you renounce all his works, all his pomps, all his circumstance? Are you ready to deny yourself? Are you ready to say no to all the pleasures and riches and cares of this world? I renounce them. And then the priest continues with an exorcism, chasing the devils out, emptying that soul, so that Christ, so that God can come and dwell therein. And so the first step before receiving Christ is to clean house, is to make room, throw out all the junk, all that we've been clinging to. It is nothing. For Christ is coming to give us something better. And so hand in hand with the sacramental baptism is the baptism of St. John the Baptist. A baptism where we deny ourselves, when we do penance, when we empty our heart from all the affections of this world. And of course, it's not an easy thing. It's a very difficult thing to do. But Christ has said, I'm going to make it possible for you. I'm going to help you. But you have to first make this leap of faith. You want to be my disciple? Here's what you do. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And you say, if I sell everything I have, then I won't have anything left. And if I give it all to the poor, you know, what will I do? Where will I sleep? What will I eat? What will I wear? Our Lord says, hey, don't worry about that. The pagans who don't know God, they worry about that. You know you have a Father in heaven. Look, the Father in heaven, he feeds the birds of the air. They don't plow fields and sow grain and harvest crops and store them in barns. And yet your Heavenly Father feeds every one of them. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. God knows you need to eat. You'll find something. If you'll believe some of these writers of health articles, we eat way too much anyway. Don't worry about that. Say, well, what are we going to wear? And our Lord says, look at the lilies of the field. See those flowers and all their beautiful arrangement, how wonderful they are. More beautiful than King Solomon with all his riches and all his glory. The lily of the field is dressed more beautifully than King Solomon. You have a Father in heaven. He knows you need clothing. He'll cover your naked body. Don't worry about it. Oh my. This is pretty heavy stuff, Lord. And now you say I have to carry a cross? Yes. Each and every day you deny yourself these pleasures that God has given you. Set yourself free from the worry and the care of them. But now I'm going to send a difficulty into your life. And most of the time, your cross comes from those whom you love. Your enemies are going to be those of your own household. Each and every day, put up with it. Thank God for it. This is your cross. This is your burden. And if you don't have any loved ones that will do that for you, you surely have a neighbor that will take care of the problem for you and give you a problem so you're never going to be without. You will always have a cross. And far from falling into despair and discouragement, we should take courage. See how much God loves me? He's given me this cross to carry. He's given me this opportunity to follow Him. What a loving Father I have that has seen fit to give me this cross, to give me this burden. That should be our attitude. That was the attitude of St. John the Baptist. That is the attitude of all the saints. And yet, we think that somehow we don't have to develop that attitude. We don't have to develop that frame of reference. We should love the cross. We should embrace the cross. Or as the Franciscan authors will tell us, excuse me, St. Francis kissed the leper. And whenever the Franciscans are faced with a difficult cross to bear, the spiritual directors say, embrace the leper. Kiss the leper. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story of St. Francis, but St. Francis was repulsed by leprosy, as you can well imagine. Would do anything to avoid them, but it was revealed to him that Christ was in this soul just as he is in his own soul, and that he must embrace the leper. And when he got down, embraced the leper and kissed him, all that was so bitter, all that was so hard, all that was so repulsive to him became sweet, became enjoyable. It was turned from all the pain to nothing but pleasure. All the disgust was turned into true affection, true love. All that was ugly is now most beautiful because he had denied himself, because he had embraced the cross. And when St. John the Baptist says, do penance, deny yourself, baptize yourself in this fire, in this tribulation, most of us coil back in fear when we should actually be drawing closer. For this is the key to true happiness. This is the key to happiness, to heaven, the key to Christ. And Christ has promised. You make this leap of faith. You do what I tell you. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Come follow me. You will find rest for your soul. You will find peace. And he even goes further. He says, you know this cross? This cross I will help you carry. I will make this cross light. It won't be so heavy as you imagine. I will make it sweet. It will no longer be as bitter as you imagine. I will make it a joy, and it will no longer be as sad as you have imagined. And truly, with Christ, all things become possible. We learn to say with St. Paul, I can do all things in him who sanctifies me. It is no longer I, but it's Christ living within me. And so each and every day we have to hear that call of St. John the Baptist. We have to take up our cross. We have to deny ourselves. We have to follow Christ. And the world says, it's too much. It's too hard. I can't do it. And as my grandfather used to say whenever we said can't, of course my mother would say, can't as the lazy boys, I don't want to. My grandfather would tell me, you see, if you say can't, you are right. If you say you can, you might succeed. But if you say you can't, you definitely can't, because you won't even try. You've given up before you've even started. You have the wrong attitude. And I say that the same thing with our spiritual lives. By yourself, yes, you can't do it. We can't get into heaven. It's impossible. We can't. We've committed too many sins. We're corrupted right to the core. We can't do it. But if we make that leap of faith and say, Lord, you said to me, deny myself, take up my cross daily, come follow you. I believe you. I trust you. I love you. I'm going to do it. I can't do it by myself, but I'm going to do all I can. If you have a little bit of that stubborn German in you, you say, well, I'm going to do it or die trying. And that's what our Lord wants. That attitude. I'm going to do this for the love of God, or I'm going to die trying. And when we clear out the path, open up our heart to denying all these things to ourselves, we find we're not truly empty, but we are truly filled. For once the world and the devil are chased out, there's room for God to enter in. And every single day of our life can become this joyful nativity, this birth of Christ within us. But there has to be this daily baptism of fire, this daily self-denial, this daily taking up the cross, which we so much fear and dread. And we must overcome that. Lord, you've promised, I trust you. We take up that baptism of St. John the Baptist, and then we receive the baptism of Christ, where the Holy Ghost comes to us, dwells within us, fills us with his grace, and we become truly temples of God, the house of God, living houses, living temples, as we carry God, the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost with us, in our lives and out into the world. And when we do this, we actually accomplish that command that God gave to our first father, Adam. Go forth and subdue the earth. Overcome the earth. As we carry God within us in our lives, we overcome the earth. We overcome the devil. We overcome all the pleasures of this world. And we don't lose these pleasures. We actually begin to use them as they should be used. We begin to appreciate them as they should be appreciated. And this world becomes most beautiful, becomes a book, a song singing to us of the glories and the beauty of God. This is what St. Francis of Assisi saw in all the world around him. And I think it is a terrible crime that there are not more souls who can see this beauty, who can truly rejoice in the life that God has given us. And I think it is a terrible tragedy that so many are filled with this world that they're left empty. They pursued the pleasures of this world and it's left them disgusted, frustrated, filled with despair. I looked for happiness here and it wasn't there. I looked for joy over here and it wasn't there. I looked for riches here and I was ended up bankrupt. This world's a miserable place. I wanted power here and then I ended up a slave. And the saints have gone through all this before. King Solomon tells us it's all vanity. It's a chase after the wind. The more you try to capture the wind, the more it escapes you. When you stop trying to capture it, it comes to you. And you can feel the breeze. St. Augustine went through it. Looking for pleasure, looking for wisdom, looking for knowledge, looking for understanding. And he is always frustrated. But when he turned his back upon all of that, the moment of his conversion, he realizes true happiness is in knowing God. And he gained true wisdom. It came to him when he stopped pursuing it and began to pursue God. You want happiness? We have to pursue God rather than happiness. Happiness will come to us when we are truly loving and serving God. You want true riches? It will come to you when you divest yourself of all the worldly riches, all the worldly cares. When you give yourself completely to God, empty, he will come and fill you with treasures that this world cannot understand. St. John the Baptist knew this. St. John the Baptist preached this. And he repeats it to us again and again. Our Holy Mother, the Church, reminds us over and over again. Here is true happiness. Here is true peace. Deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and come follow me. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et manet semper. Amen.